This morning I have a short video that I want to open our time with, and this comes from about 8 years ago, 2016, and I think it kind of highlights a little bit of the theme that we want to talk about today. This is the last week of our series about learning how to make certain decisions ahead of time. And we're focusing on one final phrase today. So let's start by watching this short video.
So we're just about all set for these 7 weeks. It's 5,000 meters. All eyes will be on Alvin Zaylava, the new world record holder over 10,000 meters.
I think that at some point in our lives, we've all wanted to give up or quit, or we were in a position where we weren't sure that we could go on any further. And maybe for you, I'm assuming most of us, it's not the Olympics, the semifinals, something that they had worked their entire life towards. For you, maybe it was a particular goal or a dream or a hope that you had, and you began with great excitement, and then for some reason or something out of your control, you got knocked down. Or you faced some resistance and your momentum stalled out. And you faced frustration and discouragement and disappointment even sets in. And whatever the case is for you, if you haven't yet seen the result or the outcome that you're looking for, and your eagerness is running a little dry, then I hope today is for you. On the back of your bulletin, I titled the message, When You Want to Give Up. We're concluding our series, this is week 7, about making decisions, some decisions ahead of time, decisions that can affect the trajectory of our lives. Last week we talked about making the decision to say, I am faithful with God's help. and knowing that obedience is our responsibility, but the outcome is God. We don't get to choose what the outcomes are sometimes. Our role is to obey what we hear the Lord say. And this week, we're going to explore one final decision. And it's a decision that I hope we can say in hope. And it's this: with God's help, I am a finisher. This is such an important decision for us to make as human beings, because our human nature actually gravitates toward the path of least resistance. We look for smoother waters. I'm mixing a whole bunch of metaphors here. We want a convenient off-ramp to avoid the chaos ahead. And that doesn't always make it easy to finish, and even to finish well. We don't even really need to talk about what derails us from this, like we have with some of the other decisions, because we're all well aware of what can derail us from finishing. There are many complicated reasons. And when you think of all the things that you have started in your life, we also start to realize that it's often hard to finish things that are significant. In fact, research has looked into this in great, great detail. It's actually looked at different people with similar talent to try to figure out, why does one person finish and one person does not, even if they have the same talent or ability? And the results have showed that it's not about your intelligence or your talents or your physical abilities or your education or even who you know. There was one important characteristic, and it was this: grit. This was the word that they found through extensive research. And they defined it as the strength of character that refuses to quit. Grit. One of the leading researchers in this area is Dr. Angela Duckworth, and she has a book called Grit: The Power of Passion and Perseverance. She's a psychologist, she's an educator, and she argues that grit is a combination of two things: passion and perseverance for very long-term goals. That if you only have one and not both, you may not finish that particular goal. And passion, she says, is not just about momentary things. It's about consistency held over a long time. Now, we can be passionate about things, but the kind of passion that helps us to achieve and get to those long-term goals is not having merely momentary intensity or enthusiasm. Perseverance, she says, is the ability to overcome setbacks, to put in hard work, and to finish what you've started. She describes grit is like living life as a marathon, not a sprint. Grit is holding steadfast to that goal, even when you fall down. I still don't know how that runner finished 5,000 meters on a busted up ankle. Somehow, she did. Grit is that thing that helps you develop the endurance that you will need to see your long-term goals through to completion. Dr. Duckworth says, enthusiasm is common, but endurance is rare. And I think we understand this at some level, because think of all the things that you were excited about. And you start and you jumped into it, and then that emotion or that feeling just kind of fades a little bit, and you don't have quite that same push or drive to finish something. Enthusiasm is common, but endurance is rare. And there's a word that we've been using the last couple of weeks to describe what it's going to take to get to where we want to go. And it's that I word that I've mentioned the last couple weeks, intentional. That we have to intentionally develop our endurance. None of us, no matter how good a runner you might be or not, could enter that race that we saw and expect to do very well. We might do okay. We might have to walk a little bit. We might have to call an Uber to get around the track, you know, something like that. But the endurance that those athletes have doesn't just happen by accident. Gritty endurance. You don't just wake up and suddenly you can run a marathon. It takes intentionality. You don't wake up and suddenly be like, man, you know what I feel like doing? 26.2 miles today. No, you work your way up to that. You train. You practice. You set goals and milestones to aim for, and over time, your stamina starts to build up. I know we got Ezra back there. I know you've done some running. You have to build up your endurance to be able to run longer distances, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. And if you're not feeling perfect on a particular day, you might try to do that long run and it ain't gonna happen. Somehow we develop endurance when we are intentionally persevering. We're combining that passion and perseverance to keep going. And as we do, our ability to dig deep or go further actually grows, just like it did for those two ladies up there. They have this resilience that they have reinforced and developed, that when they got knocked down, they were able to get up and keep going. And for those of you who have committed to follow Jesus in your life, endurance does not happen because of your natural strength or will, but it happens by learning to rely and depend on the only one who has all strength and all power and whose will certainly come to pass, with or without you. Many come to the starting line, but it's much rarer to get to the finish line. This is why it's such an important decision to be able to say, as someone who strives to be connected to the living God, we want to be able to say, with God's help, I am a finisher. We're going to look at a couple of examples in the Bible because God's word has something to say about finishing. If you have a Bible, you can open up to 2 Timothy. It's one of the shorter letters in the New Testament. 2 Timothy comes right after 1 Timothy. Some of these short letters are also easier to find just by looking in your index, or you just bring it up on your phone and you click on 2 Timothy. And 2 Timothy is a letter written by the Apostle Paul, and he writes it as an encouragement and an emotional farewell to his spiritual son, Timothy, a fellow worker and someone he has mentored and encouraged in so many different ways. And when Paul writes this letter, as best as we can tell, this is perhaps the last letter he wrote. He is underground in a dungeon awaiting his execution. It appears that the Roman Emperor Nero had already condemned him to death at this point. Paul must have had a sense of urgency, like, I must get this final word out, especially to those who will carry the torch for me, to keep that Olympic theme going. And he writes this in chapter 4. He tells Timothy, don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. In other words, finish what God has called you to start. And then with great emotion, Paul goes on. He says, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have what? Finished the race. and I have remained faithful. Friends, if you are going to finish what God has called you into, you are likely going to suffer along the way. You are going to have to put up a fight at times, and you are going to have to remain faithful. Paul makes it clear that he didn't quit. He wasn't quitting or giving up. He was accepting the reality of his situation, that he would die shortly. He fought the good fight and finished the race. But here's the word for you. You have not finished your race. If you are not dead, there is more for you to do. God has more in store for you, and he has further plans and specific work that he has gifted you and you alone to be able to do in this world and in this life. Because in this world, there is always more love to give, more people to serve, more ministry to engage with, more grace to extend, more content to create, more friendships to make, more addictions to break, and more hope to share. And God is looking to partner with you for the sake of one more. So what can we do right now? In this moment, in this place, I want you to think about what you've started, but not yet finished. And no, I'm not talking about season 4 of that show. We're talking about what the Spirit of God has prompted you to do or carry out in your life. Or as Paul writes in 2 Timothy, the ministry God has given you. For some of you, maybe it's a work of healing, a physical healing, healing a relationship. Maybe God has called you to share your faith with someone. Maybe God has called you specifically to be generous in a certain way. Maybe God is calling you to finish your education so you can serve him in a new way. Whatever the case may be, he has given you skills and gifts, and he expects you to use them. I love the advice that the Apostle Paul gave to another church. And the question that I want to roll around, I put it on the back of your bulletin. What is God calling you in faith to finish what you've started? What is God calling you to finish in faith? Paul was good at giving advice because he went around, he shared the good news of Jesus Christ with people that did not know Jesus. He helped start new churches, and then he would come around later on and see how they were doing, how things were going. And occasionally he wrote letters of encouragement or letters of correction. And for the Corinthian church in Corinth, which we think was at least initially a small house church of maybe 50 people, but it was also in a very secularized city. There were lots of temptations to go back to the old way of life, and they were developing their spiritual gifts and skills. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, this is what Paul says. Here is my advice. I like that he makes it very clear. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Now, we could just stop right there. For this particular church, they were a generous church. So he said, last year, you were the first who wanted to give, and you were the first to begin doing it. Then what does he say? Now you should finish what you started. See, they had great enthusiasm. They had great desire to do what they felt God calling them to do. And they even started it. But that enthusiasm had kind of waned over time. And Paul reminds them to finish what they started. That enthusiasm that you first had for the things that God has called you to do, now match it with your follow-through. Combine your passion and perseverance, that grit to see through to completion the race that God has called you into. to decide in faith that I am a finisher, we each must wrestle with that question. What is my unfinished business before God? I didn't put a slide up there, but there's another book that goes into a lot of grit. And the author talks a lot about stress. And he says that often a lot of the stress we feel is not because we have so much to do. It's because of all the things that we have left unfinished. And then we've tried to move on to something else. What is my unfinished business from God? Now, the good news is that the Word of God helps provide great direction for us. And it actually says that we are able to finish if we want to. There was a verse we used last week from Acts chapter 20, and it said this, "And now I am bound." This was Paul writing this as well. "I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I am compelled by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem." He was way far away from Jerusalem at this point. "I don't know what awaits me except that the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead." That's that great encouraging verse we shared last week. The verse right after it says this. This is the one that hits it home for us. "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus." And for Paul, the work that he was assigned by God was to share the good news. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Everything else in his life was secondary or unimportant if he wasn't accomplishing the work that God had given him to do. His only aim was to finish this work. A singular goal to finish the race. You ever met someone that's just so singularly focused? I think at this moment in Paul's life, this is what Paul is. He has a singular goal to finish what God has called him to do. And how was he able to do this? Because he was not running the race for himself. He considered his life worthy only under this condition: if I use it for finishing. He was running for God. And all it required of him was taking the next step. How did he learn to do this? Well, luckily he had a good teacher, Jesus. He looked to Jesus' example, and the good news for us is that we can as well. And when you look at the life and ministry of Jesus, the Son of God, he faithfully ran every step from start to finish for God his Father in heaven. Over and over in the New Testament, Jesus says, "Not my will, but yours be done." And even in his final breath upon the cross, he says that word, "Telestai." I probably butchered that. "Telestai," something like that. It is finished. He completed everything he was sent to do. To the Father, Jesus is basically saying, "I finished the race you called me to." He finished because he wasn't running for himself, he was running for his Father. Every day and every week and month and year, all Jesus did was take the next step, no matter where it led. When they hated him, he loved them. When they struck him on the cheek, he turned the other cheek. When he was carrying the cross and fell to the ground, he stood back up and took one more step. And even when he was hanging on the cross and they spit on him and mocked him and shamed him, even then he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they are doing." Friends, the good news for you and me is that you do not have to finish your race today unless the Lord calls you home. It's a marathon, not a sprint. You just have to take that next step in faith, a step in the direction of the work that God has given for you to do. You take a step, and if you get knocked down, you get back up. If someone says you can't, you trust God that you can. You keep running the race for God with all you have. And when you don't think you can, you turn to the one who can. I want to close with a second powerful story some of you may be familiar with. It's a short video from the 1992 Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. I might have even shared this story several years ago. Please forgive the video quality. They did not have HD back then. I hope we understand is this, my friends, that when you commit to run the race that the Lord has called you to, you never run alone. You always have someone with you. Even when you feel alone, you are not. And when you want to give up or you are weak and unable to continue, know that the one who has called you is right there beside you. Because he is strong and able even when we are not. And he will never run away from you. For he is faithful and good, always and forever. And he invites you to finish what you have started. Amen, church? Let's pray. God, I pray that your Spirit would do a deep work in us. And that we would be open to what you would say to us. What have you given to us, O Lord, that we have started and have not finished yet? Prompt us, show us, and by your power and strength, empower us to be faithful to run the race you've prepared for us. Provide all that we need to keep running. Provide your word. Provide your spirit. Provide your people and people to come alongside and around us. For we trust that you will supply all that we need, that strength and grit to finish well. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 When Derek Redmond tore his hamstring, that was his dad that shooed away all the security officers and helped him along the way. He said to him, "You don't have to continue, you've got nothing to prove." But Derek wanted to finish, and all he told his dad was, "Make sure I end up in lane 5. Church, as we go, hear these words from Philippians 1:6. Be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. Go with God in his peace and under his blessing. Amen. Have a great week.